Good morning. Could everyone please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I pray today, we think of just our church body right now, the Wolf family. We think of Roland, who's lost his wife. We think of David, who is today hearing from the doctors more about how his mom's doing, Lord. And there are countless other people here with concerns and issues that are going on. We just pray, Lord, that your peace that passes all understanding would be here, Lord God, just to bless our time, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, would be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Tim Danehauer. I'm one of the elders here at Cedar Run, and that was a country music video. Since I'm not on staff, they can't fire me, but you did just come to church and hear a country music video. A number of years ago, a couple of my boys that are baseball players turned me on to country music that they used to listen to. And, today's message, I don't know if you can hear the feedback up there, guys, but if you turn that back a little bit. The title is Agent of Change, Agents of Change. And I brought that video to use because it has some personal impact on being an agent of change in my life, because an agent of change can be a chemical reaction. Obviously, this morning, we're talking about agents of change having to do with people and the impact that people can have in other people's lives. And I'll share in a minute the impact that it had on me. But I got a little punchy all week because we have a certain title of this service, and we call it interactive. And I can talk forever, and I have a tendency that I get going and I don't stop. So you're going to help me this morning. And if you don't help me, then I'm going to start calling on names. And I'll probably start, if my wife's here yet, I'll pick on her. But, yeah, she did make it, I think. My first thing I'd like to throw out there is this. Who are you in that video? Who are you? Is anybody willing to share? What did you see? Who would you be in that video? Anybody want to throw it? Who did you see yourself as in that video? Did you have an argument on your way to church this morning and you want to admit it? Anybody? The driver? Okay, which one? The gentleman that was observing? Okay, so busy, the world attacking him with the busyness of work and having to get to work, had to drive through traffic. Anyone else? Well, it had to resonate with somebody unless we just don't want to admit it. Anyone? Well, I won't call my wife because then she'll get mad at me. But let me share the various people, the various characters that were involved. And that's probably the primary one that we're watching to see that change that's taking place. But, you know, I also think about the mom and the dad. They're driving, and what are they caught up in? They're caught up with something. Themselves arguing. And probably what led to the accident was what? The argument. Probably wasn't paying attention. In my own case, and I will share this, what this video has done in my family is a little girl. My wife will tell you, after having four sons, that my little girl, our 13-year-old now that we've adopted, could sit in our back seat and eat ice cream. None of our boys, I don't believe, have ever done that, okay? Probably never will. But my wife will tell you, and my son that's here will confirm this, that there are things that I'm willing to let her do and things I will probably do for her, like a Mustang when she's able to drive, that I did not do for my kids. So it had that movie, you know, that video from that standpoint had impact on me from that perspective. But think about the rescue workers that were involved. Okay? There's a world going on around us that we participate in. And I think what happens sometimes, we get caught up with the world that's hitting us and we forget who we can be in that world around us. And the first place that it distracts us is we go through our day and we get caught up with all the things, all the stuff especially in the political world we're in right now, in the environment of an election, we get caught up with a lot of things, some very important. I think sometimes we miss the opportunities that God will provide to us. Now, if I can get this technology to work this morning, as I mentioned, I titled this Agents of Change. And in honor of the last couple people that have spoken here, one being Bob Houston from a week ago, we've had some FBI agents speak. And again, help me out a little bit. Bob, since you are here, I'm going to put you on the spot. But what does an FBI agent do? Who do you work for?
The right answer would be the
Okay. Is there a supervisor here that is checking in on him this morning? Anybody else? What is an agent? When you think of the term agent, what's an agent? Thank you. Has authority. Do you get to act on your own? Can you do your own thing? Not usually. Well, the word agent and the reason it's used with the FBI, it's used in real estate, used in a lot of different venues, has to do with the fact that that agent generally goes out, and that agent then has authority that they carry with them when they go out. But in general, that authority is expressly given by the entity that has sent them out. Now, in the world we live in, just to give you an analogy, there you hear the word agent, you hear the word broker. Now, I want you to understand the difference, because in the business I'm in, I can act in both capacities. Now, without going into detail to what I do, I'm not an FBI agent, so I should joke around and say, yeah, I'm really his secret supervisor that's here today, making sure he gives the right answers. But you hear the word broker, and in general, a broker really is acting on behalf of an individual. For instance, stock broker. When you think about that, that broker is acting on behalf of the individual making a trade. They've given them an instruction. That broker then executes a trade. Very important to understand the difference as we get into the book of Timothy, because I believe that as we start to unpack Timothy, we'll have a better idea of what's going on, especially in the Christian church today. But if you think of an agent, the agent's been sent out, and that agent has a task to carry out. That agent's responsible to do the business for that entity that sends them out. That's who they represent. In fact, in the investment world, the reason that there's so much antagonism towards stockbrokers has to do with the question about who are they really working for? Are they really working for the person that is asking them to make a transaction for them, or are they working for the big company that they hold their license with? And the whole financial world has changed in the past 5 to 10 years because of that one question. Now, as we go on to Timothy, and I don't have all the scriptures up here, but what I want to start with is we're in chapter 1 of Timothy. I want to give you a little background. If you're here and you want to take notes, just we talk a little bit about who Timothy was. But starting in the book of Acts, if you want to make a note and you have time later today, you can go back to Acts 14. Acts 14 describes Paul's first missionary journey. And he's in Iconium with Barnabas. And they essentially get wind of the fact that there's some people that are going to come try to kill them, a mob. And they leave, and they go to a community called Lystra. Now, most commentators believe at that time, when they shared the gospel in Lystra, that young Timothy was there observing. And in Lystra, Paul and Barnabas were attacked and were beaten and left for dead. And obviously, they didn't die, but they went on to ministry. In Paul's second missionary journey, you can find that in Acts 16, Paul goes back by Lystra, and there Timothy, who's described in the first few verses of chapter 16 in Acts, is described as a disciple. So that's why a lot of commentators believe that Paul's first trip, Timothy saw what happened. Just like we saw in that video, Timothy observed Paul and Paul's ministry at that time. But more importantly, he also observed Paul essentially being beaten. It wasn't this good news in the sense of you name it, claim it, and all these good things are going to happen. Timothy witnessed the part of ministry that a lot of people never see, but goes on, and that is, it isn't easy. So then they went on their second missionary journey. Now, the first, Paul took Timothy on the second missionary journey with him, and one of the cities they went to was Ephesus. Anybody have background on Ephesus? Want to talk to me about what you know about the town of Ephesus, where it was, what went on there? Anyone? Because we've studied it before in Cornerstone. Somebody. I'm going to start calling on people. Very good. Idol worship took place. We have kids here. I won't go into the details of exactly what took place there, but let's just say it was of sexual content that would have been double, triple X rated in terms of the activities that took place in that city. Anything else about Ephesus? Well, at that time, it was a major inland seaport of the Roman Empire, one of the fifth largest cities, very urban, not unlike the city maybe that we live in right now, or the area that we're in, or you think of a San Francisco, usually is another example. You think of Corinth, you think of Rome, you think of Ephesus, maybe Antioch. So it was a major city at that time, but basically a lot was taking place in that city. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior. Now, the word that's used here, and the reason I started with the FBI and just thinking of the example of that, that word that's used, if you were to look it up in the original language, is in essence a military term. Now, anyone have an idea where Paul was when he wrote this letter to Timothy? Someone? He was in prison. Very good. So if you think about it, he is in prison, and he wrote a number of letters. This is a pastoral letter. He wrote three, Timothy and Titus. This was written late in Paul's life. He was probably in Rome, in prison. Nero was the emperor at the time. So when you think of this military term that's being used, there's a clear understanding from Paul about what it means when someone gives a command. It means you follow a command. Now, the reason I wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between an agent and the difference between a broker is because Paul understood that he was an apostle. He was called out to be used by God, but it was a command. He wasn't sent out on his own. He couldn't speak on his own. Very important concept to understand. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in many of his letters, he'll use the term grace and peace. And in essence, it's the address he's making to both Gentiles and the Jews of that day. A grace to the Gentiles and peace or shalom to the Jewish believers. The word mercy is sent to Titus and is sent to Timothy in the two letters that we call pastoral letters. The third song set that we sang today has the word mercy in it. Anybody have a definition of mercy? I'm sure you've all heard it before. Anyone? Go ahead. Well, that would be grace. But that's a good answer. Grace. Mercy. Anyone? Not receiving something, and they both go hand in hand to the believer. When you think of mercy, and one commentator that I was reading mentioned that anyone that has boys understands mercy. And I thought, okay, I think I get that, because the minute you give them the car keys, you know that stuff's happening and they probably deserve more. In fact, probably everyone here today in the last week either knows someone or themselves, probably while driving down the road, got mercy. All right? Some of you didn't, but most of us did. And that might mean that we did nothing more than looking at our phone to check an email while we're driving. Okay? I just sat with my son and I don't know how many times now, I guess it's four times we've done this, but we have to go to the county or to our school first. We didn't do this for our first three. and you have to sit for 90 minutes, listen to the driver's ed teacher. We see one movie that I've now seen about three or four times, but I also saw one that was made about texting. And I'll be frank, I've already told my wife, or told my wife many times, she used to pray for me, just period, about distraction when I'm driving. But it hit home. And I thought, how many of us have probably done that this week, where we've done something we probably deserve what happened, for instance, in that video. But by God's grace, unmerited favor, we were protected. So you think of the word mercy. I also think it's important because, to put in context, there are a lot of things that I should have had happen to me that haven't. And I share this story of a number of years ago, well, not a number of years ago now, but a year and a half ago. I spoke at a funeral for a young man that had played on one of my boys' travel basketball teams for many years. And without going into all the details, he and some buddies just were up on a roof in this area. The day after the school was let out, the surface was wet. Someone slipped. He put his hand on an electrical cord and died. Well, in the funeral service, I had the opportunity to speak. And about two or three days prior to that, I was sharing the story with my mom. And she looked at me, and she reminded me of, you know, young Timmy Danehauer and his friends that used to climb up the wall at North Springfield Elementary School to get their baseballs from the roof. And to do that, you had to shimmy up a pole, you had to reach back around you, and then kind of pull yourself up. Now, just thinking about that, both my arms just popped out right now at my age. But my point is, you're about 12-plus feet in the air. You run the risk of a police officer seeing you up there, and then you have to find a way to run to the other side that the police officer was on, jump down. But bottom line is, it's something that just was stupid, okay? And I could go on, but I don't want to give too much ammunition to my son or my wife this morning of all the things I did where I didn't get what I deserved. When I was sharing at the funeral, I thought, here's this kid, a nice kid, in a much better place with the Lord than I was when I was his age. You know, why? I can't answer that. I don't know. But I think of how strong that word mercy is. Peace. Oops. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Now, there's a lot I can unpack in here, and this isn't the part of the scripture that's the main theme of what I wanted to talk about or get to today, about agents of change. But in that, you know, we live in a time where there are a lot of distractions, as that video shared, and there are distractions even in church and in Christendom. There's confusion from the standpoint of what does God really mean about what he said? And I thought that Bob did a great job last week for those that were here just talking about what's out there in the world, the different views and philosophies that are attacking the way that we think and our thought process. But he goes on, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. And you've heard this term before about sincere, it's without wax. It's authentic. It's an authentic faith. And the object of our faith is obviously Jesus Christ. Where I want to get to this morning, Jeff, you might need to take it one for me. All right, we're getting there. You took it too many. I love technology. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they confidently affirm. If that's one verse that we listen to and we understand today, is the viewpoint and the reality to the fact there are many voices that are talking in the church and outside the church today, and I'm not so sure they know what they're talking about from the standpoint of different viewpoints that people take on Scripture. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Now again, to take a step back to Ephesians and to the city of Ephesus, imagine the church at that time and new believers coming in the church and a world around them that held many views completely contradictory to those of Scripture. Contradictory to those of Scripture. And the task of a young pastor would be to be able to address those issues and in some cases very knowledgeable people holding those views and holding those positions. Now, to talk about this in perspective today, this is from a book or a quote that was written by an individual and from a book that I was reading over the summer. Predictions fail because they overestimate the impact of future technologies. And then the author of an article makes a few predictions of his own. The growth of the internet will slow drastically as the flaw in Metcalfe's law, which states that the number of potential connections in the network, he goes on, bottom line, by 2005 or so, it will become clear that the internet's impact on the economy has no greater impact than fax machines. Now, this is someone writing this, okay? Now, it could be anybody. It could be the guys on, you know, Fox News or Fox Sports. Probably Fox Sports, they prognosticate all the time. Why most economists' predictions are wrong, which is the article, was written by Paul Krugman himself, an economist who went on to win the Nobel Prize. So let me take a step back. A well-known Princeton graduate economist named Paul Krugman basically is writing an article in a technology magazine, and in the article, he comes out towards the end of what he's having to articulate, and he says, by 2005, he doesn't believe the internet's going to have any impact on the world that we live in. Now, I'm going to skip that slide and keep moving down, but there's a word, and this is probably a new Wikipedia word, but ultra-sepidarianism. Anybody know what that means? Anybody want to take a guess? The habit of giving opinions and advice on matters outside of one's knowledge or competence. The authors of the book that I pulled this from, and the book is Think Like a Freak, and the idea behind it is to get people to understand that what you're being told isn't always the truth, isn't always accurate. And nothing against this economist. I don't want to pick on him. He is three times as smart, five times as smart as I'll ever be. But the point being that we have that all around us. We have that on a number of issues today that face us from the standpoint of what does the Bible say about certain things? Here's another statement that an individual made a few years ago. The Rapture Church will occur on May 21st, 2011. Now, I've got good news and bad news. If it did occur, what does that say about our beliefs back in 2011? Where are we this morning? So it's not just outside, it's inside the church as well. Now, we go on in Timothy. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. And I use the example of texting. You know, when I drive from Virginia to downtown, you're not allowed to be on a cell phone downtown. And I know that, okay? I know that. Well, that law is meaningless to me if I'm not on my cell phone, okay? It's meaningless. And that's the point of what the law is it goes on and it says if the law is used properly, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and ill-religious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders, liars, perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, sound doctrine at that time was what? When Paul was referencing this, what would have been the doctrine that he would have been drawing attention to at that time? What were they living by? What did they have? The what? The Old Testament. We did not have the canon of the New Scripture, New Testament. So think for a minute. You know, the arguments today about certain things that were written don't apply today. Well, wait a second. That's what he's talking about right now. And then for those that might say today that something that was written back 2,000 years ago doesn't apply, you need to take a step back for a minute. Because when he's referencing this, as he's writing to Timothy, he's talking about the Old Testament and the different passages that were passed down that had been written over a 15 to 2,000 year or more period of time. Paul is placing credibility on that. He's affirming that, that those are guidelines for living. And for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, today we could talk about certain issues that come out of that passage, but that's not, I'll let Mark or David do that. Because it's a catch-all. Whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God which he entrusted to me. Now, folks, we think about where we are to be agents of change today. I really believe that in the next 2 to 3 years, if we are to be an agent of change, if we are to be an impact in our culture, in our communities, in our families, that we need to change. We're going to have to change. Now, it's been said that anyone have a guess what the three toughest words are in the English language for somebody to say to somebody else? Well, I like that one. My wife would say it might be another one. Women, what would be one other one? Well, that one's really good. That was a husband, though. The woman probably loved to hear that. The other one is, I love you. Okay? But I like the one, I was wrong. Or how about this one? I don't know. I don't know. And I'll be the first to tell you as a believer, and I'm not going to go back to when I became a Christian other than to say I think it was 25 plus years ago. As I've studied the scripture, I've learned that the more I study, the more I take a step back and say, wow, I didn't know that. And so when we think about what goes on here in this interactive service, the opportunity to dig a little bit deeper in scripture with the background, the context, for most of us, that's an opportunity to, I believe, be used in a better way as an agent of change in people's lives. Because the more sincere we are, that we just don't wave our hand and say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, the more that we truly believe that we need God's word to penetrate, that we need to know his word. And quite frankly, I don't know how to have a discussion with somebody to give them hope unless the hope that we have is the hope that we can share in Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why I mentioned in the very beginning this delineation between an agent and a broker really comes down to the fact that if I'm an agent, and let's for a minute call Paul an agent, an apostle Paul, you know, agent for God, he didn't have the right to go out and say his own thing. Paul spoke through the power of the Holy Spirit what was commanded of him to speak. And what we have today in Christendom is we have brokers that sit in pulpits and speak what people want to hear, and we have some churches still alive today where they're speaking what God wants us to learn, what God wants them to say. Now, I'm going to, because of time, fast forward to Acts chapter 17. And as I referenced Acts earlier, now the Bereans, Jews, were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Folks, when we live in an age where you can do a search on the internet and come up with 100 reasons why something in the Bible isn't true or isn't accurate, if you're not in the Bible yourself learning the real thing, the authentic thing, how are you going to be able to discern what you're hearing, what you're seeing in the media? How are you going to be able to discern that? So as it says in here, the Bereans were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures. I tell the story, as Lee starts to come on back up, of a church that we visited one time, and I visited a few times in San Diego, and probably the one thing about this church that continues to just resonate with me is the fact that when you walk in there, we would see the youth spread out among the church, not sitting in their group. Generally, a lot of them would be up front. And I love this, that we have a few youth up front this morning. Kind of helped me out a little bit. And by the way, if you weren't here when they did worship, the violin that we had played today was just awesome. But my point being that it was so neat to see the eagerness of the youth and the adults in this church that would come in the morning with their Bibles open, with their notes. And you don't have to believe what I said about Acts 14 and 16. I mean, I hope you do. But more importantly, what's even better is that you write it down, you hear what I had to say, and then you go back, and for yourself, you begin to look, you open it, you study it, you ask questions about it, ask God to help you see more about how he can expand it more clearly to be an agent of change. Lord, if you bow with me, let me pray, close us, and I'll let Lee lead us. We're just so thankful this morning, and I just think of the example that's been set before us of grace and mercy that through David. And again, just for some reason, Lord, I just pray right now for him and the news that he's probably hearing from doctors about the prognosis on his mom, and just really hope, Lord, that, again, you'll just be a part of comforting him this morning. Lord, I pray for what will go on the rest of service this morning as well. I pray that those that may have other things to do today might think second and come to hear Mark in the second service talking about Moses and how God used Moses to be an agent of change in his culture and his environment, Lord. And we just lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.